Blog Talk Radio.
I'd like to say good afternoon, good evening to each and every one of you. This is Pastor Mike Peavy from the Golgotha Church of Christ. Ministry of Venue is here in Chicago, Illinois. And just having a great time studying God's Word.
Message is received from Matthew Biles.
Hang on 1 second here. Trying to turn on the. Okay, so tonight is the first night we're going to be going on Facebook Live as well as Blog Talk Radio, and we're so excited. We have the conference call lined up for Study to Show Thyself Approved, Armed and Dangerous Ministries, and we also have the Blog Talk Radio line. So if you want to call in, if you're on Facebook Live and you want to call in and have some discussion, dial in on 619-924-0767. Again, that's 619-924-0767. We're going to sing a song. I would like to start out with a song, and then we'll get into our lesson as we're dealing with the Beatitudes, the Beatitudes of Matthew chapter 5. Later on, everlasting arms, if you know, sing with me, if you would. What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. And what a blessedness, what a peace in mind, leaning on the everlasting arms. Where we are leaning on Jesus Christ our Savior, there we are safe and secure from all alarm. Where we are leaning on Jesus Christ our Savior, there we are leaning on the everlasting arms. And how sweet to walk in this pilgrim way, leaning on the everlasting arms. You see, I have blessed peace with my Lord so near, leaning on the everlasting arms. Where we are leaning on Jesus Christ our Savior, we are safe and secure from all harm. Where we are leaning on Jesus Christ our Savior, we are leaning on the everlasting arms. And what have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms. You see, I have blessed peace with my Lord so dear. Leaning on the everlasting arms. Where we are leaning on Jesus Christ our Savior, we are safe and secure from all harm. Where we are leaning on Jesus Christ our Savior, we are leaning on the everlasting arms. Where we are leaning on Jesus Christ our Savior, there we are safe and secure. from where we are leaning on Jesus Christ, our Savior. We are leaning on the ever-stirring arms. Amen. Father, in the sweet name of Jesus, Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for the word of God. As we go into this lesson this evening of study to show thyself approved, workmen that need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. We pray that we stay with the script and we make sure that we are able to bless people with the word of God, that it will continue to, and they'll be able to extract and extrapolate things from God's word, nutrients from God's word to apply immediately to their everyday lives. Help us in our attitude. Help us in our mindset. Help us in our love factor. Help us to reach out as you have reached out to others. Help us to reconcile and help us to continue to love. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Let us collectively say amen, amen, and amen again. Once again, I just want to say good evening to each and every one of you. Once again, those out there in Radio Land, we are broadcasting again on Blog Talk Radio this evening as well as Facebook Live. Amen, somebody. God is doing some great things. We're in collaboration with Armed and Dangerous Ministries out of Des Moines, Iowa, and it's opening doors for us and allowing us to do some things that God will allow us to do. And the thing is just to get the bandwidth out and go and bring the word of God to the people that need it. We need energy. We need God worse than we need energy. We need God worse than we need money. We need God because without God, there is no life. There is no existence. There is no being. So I just wanted to say good evening to each and every one. It's great to see you, Sister Lopez. Amen. You're hopefully that great prognosticator. Neil is around with you. Just say hello to me and send love to the family for me, if you will. We'll probably see you sometime soon. Just want to get to the script tonight. Once again, for those of you who would like to call in, we're not using our conference call line. We're using our Blog Talk Radio line. So let me give you that phone number again. That phone number, if you don't see it off of Facebook Live, it is 619-924-0767. So you can call in tonight so we can have a discussion. 619-924-0767. I see at least one or two that's on already. I'm just glad to see you this evening. You'll come on and it'll put you immediately on mute. And at the completion of the lesson, we will unmute you and we'll be able to talk about what we've talked about this evening. All right? Amen, somebody. We want to talk from the Beatitudes. We've been dealing with Matthew chapter 5, and we know that Jesus, who did some great teaching at the beginning of his ministry, now after he's teaching them how to become fishers of men, and he has Andrew and Peter, and he has James and John, the Archimedes brothers, those sons of thunder, and now they went out, and they're all through going from Galilee all the way around, and he's healing multitudes of people. And if he's healing multitudes of people, more people follow him. They bring him those that are maimed, those that can't see, those that are hurt, those that are just diseased, those that have cancers and all kinds of things. And Jesus heals them inside and out. He is the doctor. He's the great physician. And so once they've been healed by Jesus, now all of a sudden a person that has been healed by Jesus wants to know more about Jesus. So it's a natural inclination to follow him. We're in a society now that once God blesses us and God heals us, folks just go back their way. That is a disgrace to the God who's done so much for you. So let us get our minds back in order. Let us recognize what we need to do. So as he has so many of a multitude of people, he has to go up on a mountain. And he sits on a mountain. The disciples come up to him, and all of those people come in his direction.
Call from 312.
Who's calling?
339.
I have to put that on. You know, right now, folks should know I'm in Bible class. Amen, somebody. If not, we'll get back to it. It's not important. God's word is more important. And so as they're on the mountaintop, he's getting ready to teach a multitude of people, and he's trying to really infuse in them people who have been looked at as second-class citizens, people who have been beat down, people who society will not accept, right? Folks who probably have been doing just okay, but all of a sudden people want to keep their foot on their neck, right? Subjected to Roman government rule, subjected to just ostracism, all kinds of things that have these people not feeling like they're whole, feeling like they have self-esteem, feeling like they have self-identity. And Jesus gives them what they lack. Amen, somebody. He does that to us today. You are not a second-class citizen in God's kingdom. God views things differently than man views them. Amen, somebody. So, as he talks, he says, blessed are those that are poor in spirit. Those who are broken in spirit. He says, those are the kingdom of heaven. Is your spirit broken today? You need Jesus. Those that mourn, they're going to be comforted. Those that are gentle, those that are meek, have power that needs to be under control. Not a bunch of wild stallions, but power that's reigning under control. They'll inherit the land or inherit the earth. God has something for you. Amen, somebody. Those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, they're going to be filled. You're not going to be left empty. Those that practice mercifulness, you shall receive mercy. You obtain mercy. And last week we talked about those that are pure in heart. They shall see God. Isn't it interesting the progression of poor in spirit, kingdom of heaven? Mourning needs comfort. Meek gets you near the earth. Right? Hunger and thirst after righteousness? What we feel, no longer hungry, but what we feel with God. Those that practice mercifulness will receive mercy. And those that are pure in heart will see God. But then he goes further today. And he says, blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers. Let me say that again. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Or your translation may say children of God. I like to go with the American Standard Version, which says sons of God, meaning that they will have a relationship with God. So what it's also saying is that if you are not a peacemaker, there's something wrong with your relationship with God. It ain't what you say you are. It's what you ascribe to be. That is who you are. What is a peacemaker? Well, the only time in the New Testament that peacemaking or this word is used is right here in this text. Blessed are the peacemakers. So we're not talking about peace breakers. There's a lot of them, right? We're not talking about peacekeepers. We need more of them. Right? But we're talking about peacemakers. Well, in the Greek, that word literally means he who makes peace. The word maker, the borrower, who one that confections, one that takes something that's already there and constructs it accordingly. We're going to find out that peacemaking is no more than reconciliation. You ever broke a bone or seen somebody that broke a bone? If your bone is broken, that's what it has to be reset, right? And so once it's been reset, it's been reestablished, it heals, and usually it's placed right, it's going to be stronger then. Jesus had to come into this sin-cursed world, leaving the penthouse of heaven, come down to the dead world as the second Adam to reconcile man back to God. Amen, somebody. So peacemakers, Jesus is the ultimate peacemaker. In this word peacemaker, we see that there has been three connotations given: protector, strong ruler, or pacifier. Well, as a protector, God is looked at as a peacemaker, one who protects his people and his enemies from natural disasters and from confusion and things of that nature. God is our example, and he's looked at as a peacemaker when he protects his people from enemies. You didn't think about that, did it? When you have been when you've been given the charge to protect your family, that's keeping peace God's way. right? Now, and from natural disaster. Well, let's take a look at this strong ruler. Well, the word sometimes is used for a strong ruler who establishes peace in the world and who is best to be called respected. So they're in a position where they could say something or they could decree something that will bring things together, right? And sometimes they have to use military force for that. But it's also used as a word for pacification. Because the teachers or the rabbis, the Jewish rabbis of the day, taught that one being in the process of pacifying or one being in a state of pacifying was an act of love. When you pacified somebody to help them to get through something, that was an act of love. It was an act of humility, an act of self-denial. That's how they taught it, right? So protecting, pacification, and strong leadership is what has been looked at under the auspices of peacemaking. But I want to make something a little more distinctively and a little more definitively to you here today. Again, those that are calling, those that are just now getting on, we hope you call in. Call in on the Blog Talk line, 619-924-0767. For the completion of this, we can talk about it. 619-924-0767. More definitively, a peacemaker is not one who promotes human happiness and well-being, but more so, a peacemaker is one who does not necessarily help others to make peace with God, but more importantly, is or there are those who come between two contending parties and try to make peace. So they're an advocate or an mediator that wants to try to bring the pieces together. You ever been to court where there was a divorce and irreconcilable differences, and they send you to mediation, and someone who's a third party will listen to both sides and try to help you understand what's what, so that you can come to some kind of agreement, a peaceableness, hopefully to reconcile, and if not, then to leave, to depart peaceably. Well, these are the ones that God calls sons. These are the ones that God calls family. Why? Because they are like him. Colossians 1:19 says, for it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. God is pleased with the work of Jesus. For in Jesus all fullness resides, dwells, and exists. Jesus has made power, has Jesus made peace with a sin-cursed world. He died on Golgotha's cross for you and for me, hung between two thieves. A man who did not sin, but was confused, but was contaminated and condemned of sin. Took your place in my place. It's substitutionary in order that we might have a right to be reconciled back to the God of heaven. He made peace through his blood. Remember they pierced him on the side? Outflowed blood and water. It's the innocent blood of Jesus that when the Father looks down, he does not see us. If we are covered in the blood of Jesus, if we are baptized believers in Jesus, if we have now been given to God under the umbrella of Jesus, when the Father who's a burning fire looks down, he sees the innocent blood of his Son covering us, purifies us in the eyesight of God. Thank you, Jesus, for what you did for me. When he reconciled all things unto himself, whether they're in heaven or whether they're in earth. Well, let's get down to the nitty-gritty of this thing. If there is a rift in a relationship. Be it husband or wife, be it social sin, be it church, whatever it is. You know, there's a way in which to do it. Matthew 18:5-15 tells us how to handle that, right? If there's some kind of crack or split or some kind of break in friendly relationship, we have to follow God's way of doing it. And he is the one who moves swiftly, not one who drags their feet out and get there when it really cracks open. No, one who really tries to get it at the source, one who moves swiftly to repair such a broken relationship back to a state of normalcy. Good to see you, Sister Zola. Amen, somebody. Where's Matthew chapter 5? So there's good fortune, verse 9. Blessedness for those who mend peace. People who know something about sewing, who know something, fishermen, who know something about mending a net, know how to put it back together so it's functional again. That's what peacemaking is all about. Peacemaking gives you functionality and fundamentality. Have you ever been in a situation, folks, where you found out that peace was absent? They walked into a business meeting, and you know, wasn't no peace up in there. You ever walked into a family meeting, and they're going at it one-on-one. You ever been in this teaching at school, after school, and folks are going by 40 going north? Have you ever been in a place where peace was absent or at least threatened? When you don't think about what is harmonious, but what is discordant, then that's where there's an absence of peace. Those who sow discord are in much trouble with the Father. We ought to be in harmony, unity. That don't mean we all think alike. That don't mean we all dress alike. That means that we have a common salvation, that we can put aside our differences and lift up the holy hands of God. My battery's getting low here. So I thought, hang on 1 second. Happened on my video. Let me pull my video back up. All about that. So, there we go. When there's an absence of harmony, I'm a musician. I've been one for many years, and there's something about a symphony, or there's something about being in music that brings one together. Music is a universal language. My heart is taking me places that my skin color and my pocket wouldn't allow me to go. And there has been no problems. I've been in some very difficult situations. But because I was a musician, people looked at the music rather than they looked at the discord. Well, that's what being a child of God is. It's being able to live above the situation so that you too can be blessed and you too can help bring together situations that have been broken apart. Harmony, peacemaking is a response to hostility. Peace is centered in love. Therefore, it's the love of peace. And the reason why there's so much discord and so much loss of peace is for the simple reason that many people are not at peace with God. So if you're not at peace with God, how can you have peace with your fellow man? Psalm 34:14 says, depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Depart from evil and do good. Seek, search, energize yourself. Scratch for peace and pursue it. As sons, God acknowledges those. You and I, as his covenant people, as sons, as children of God, for peace is associated with God. Satan ain't no peacemaker. Satan is a peace breaker. So if you see someone breaking peace or sowing discord, you know who their daddy is. You don't need to be a Philadelphia lawyer to figure that out. Whether you're dealing with wars on a large scale or individual quarrels on a small scale, which may seem big to you, the quality of being peaceable is admirable, and it's also appropriate. Now, I'm not saying don't stand up for the truth. You've got to stand for the truth, because the Bible says it's the truth that sets you free. But if you're not willing to stand for peace, what are you willing to stand for? Peace comes from the word shalom. Oh, yes. Which is what you see in the word Jerusalem. Jerusalem. That means peace. That literally means that there is a concentrated calmness, a balance about where God is going to have this place to be. As a child of God, he wants you to be sober-minded, right? He wants you to be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the faith. He wants you to have a temperance about yourself, right? A meekness about yourself and a love about yourself, long-suffering and forgiveness about yourself that far surpasses the human understanding. There is a great reward for those who are willing to end their hostility and bring quarrelsome situations together. These are not appeasers. People just go along to get along. But rather people who actively overcome evil with good. Let's work through this thing. Bringing peace to people and bringing people to peace takes some work, folks. And it takes some delicacy. And God says they need to be looked at and they need to be rewarded. They're my sons when they do my mission on earth. It's hard enough to get to just keep the peace. Yet it is still more difficult to bring peace in a situation where there is none. Again, Jesus is the perfect peacemaker. Ephesians 2:14-15, for he is our peace. Going to the church of Ephesus, he is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, the hatred, right? The separation, the word used in Genesis 3:16, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, the Mosaic law, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. As we close, again, one who seeks to end strife, one who establishes harmony between oneself and one's neighbors, that's a peacemaker. Peacemaking is a work of reconciliation, putting things back together again. James tells us in James 3:18, he says that the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace to them that make peace. So if you work to establish harmony in the kingdom, if you work to establish unity within the human community, the church, whose only purpose as the ark of the new covenant is to keep souls alive in the midst of a storm. If you work to establish harmony within the human community, within the church, you are doing the will of God and are therefore worthy to be called sons or children of God. And I hasten to tell you, if you're not, then you are living beneath your privilege and you're not worthy to be called a son of God. Hope Christian Prager's lesson has blessed you. Again, call in. You can dial in right now, 619-924-0767 if you're on Facebook Live, 619-924-0767. Let me go to the line. Looks like Big Joe's on. That's you, Big Joe? Big Joe, are you on?
Yeah, man. I'm on the train, man. I just had to put my headphones. I can't talk to him. It's just headphones. So I just snatching all that out so I can get to you. I'm all right, though. Man, look here. Look here. That you talking about is a serious thing. Because I look around the board in my life. And I told you about a little incident I had. And I went the wrong way. You know what I mean? But I go back and I look at me and my woman, which both of us had to make peace. We had to be peacemakers between the two of us. You know what I mean?
Yes.
In order to continue on, because I know the Lord might be testing us to see how rude we are about this. You know, and my folks and my friends and all that, man, I know that every time that we were together, you and I, it's always been about love and peace. You know what I mean?
That's right.
And so you have your friends that they just kind of, they struggle and strife thing, man. You know, some people like conflict, man. It's like it might be a stimulating thing to them. You know, they want to fight and tussle about just nothing. You know what I mean? And misunderstand you when you got themselves at this level. And they misunderstand you. And you say, well, man, look here. So what did you just say to me? What did you just say, man? I said, what I was trying to say, and they totally misunderstood. Nah, man, what you was trying to say is, oh, here we go. You totally missed, man, I ain't coming here to fight with you. You know what I mean? And you get people that's stuck in that, they're just stuck in that vibe, man. It's a vibe of conflict. It's a vibe of negativity. Peace is so far away from them. You, as a man, you preach, and some people you just have to say, man, you know what? All I can do is pray for you because you are going through something that the Lord, I'm just giving you some word right now. I'm giving you some word, but the Lord's going to have to take it from here. You know, I didn't say to you what I've been saying to help you, but the Lord's going to have to take it from here. You know, because you ain't hearing me. You ain't hearing me. So I know you will hear God. You know what I mean? So that's how I was what's happening with my brother, man. You know, and every time, you know, what I say, when I talk about me and you getting together or whatever, I say, well, man, look here, man. You know, Lord, man, I got to get this call, man. You know, I got to go. Man, go ahead and take it for business, man. I got to go. I say, yeah, okay. I'm going to pray anyway. So you're going to have to stop running at one point. But you will have to face it. You got to face it, man. The Lord will bring you to your knees. The way to stand in life is on your knees. So if you, okay, fine. Go ahead. I love you. Go ahead. But that's not the way to do it. You know what I mean? It's not like that. So, you know, we just try to be as peaceful. And, you know, us as musicians, we are peacemakers. You know what I mean?
That's right.
Because, you know, I remember, like, how you used to come on 63rd Street. You're walking out, you hear them Congo players out there. All of a sudden, everybody, go in a trance and start. Man, let's go see what's happening over there. Everybody go to the music. Everybody standing around the music. Listen to what the music is about. And so, you know, that's peace. And everybody's at peace. Everybody's at peace. You know, so that's what we need. We are the peacemakers. Us as the chief musicians to Lord Almighty, we are the peacemakers.
That's right. And something about peace that you brought up a great point in regards to relationship, because at some point in time, someone's got to use smart. Somebody got to use some sense. You know, you both can't come out with pitchforks. We got to stop and recognize what we're doing and try to come together and reconcile this thing. So you bring forth a good point in relationship as you talk about you and your girl and just issues like we've had in bandstands and things of that nature. It's just easy to fall out, but it's hard to build. And when people use humility and take and step back and say, listen, I'm going to be the bigger or I'm going to allow you to be the bigger and we're going to try to work this thing out. Like Abraham and Lot, we don't want no quarreling amongst us, right? Unless our brother and your brother, my herdsman and your herdsman, you choose which way and I'll go the other way, and let's keep some peace here. And so that makes that's a big thing for us to be to be more godlike and trying to work. Because we can't get along, like John and Paul, they couldn't get along. There was a time for them to separate. So then at some point in time in the future, and only God knows when that is, they'll be able to reconcile and be beneficial to one another. But if you're falling out with one another, there's no reason for the two of you to be together. Because you're going to hurt one another. You're not trying to help one another. And God is about helping and bringing up and encouraging and building one another rather than tearing one another apart. You bring forth a great point, Doc.
Yeah, because that's why I say me and my life had to find peace within the both of us in order to be peacemakers for our whole family. You know what I mean? And that's what they say. Say hi to Reason.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
How you doing?
Hey.
What's going on there, sis?
Hey, how's it going?
I'm doing well. Did you get a chance to hear the lesson?
I did not. I'm just getting in the, just drove here to get Joe, but I didn't have time to tune in.
Okay, well, we're talking about peacemaking. You got any insight about what it means to be a peacemaker versus a peacebreaker?
Oh, absolutely. You have to find peace within and have a relationship with God before you can be peaceful with others or find some type of peace or happiness with someone else. So it, in my opinion, it starts with me. It starts with me. I have to have my mind right, spirit prayed up in that before I can be the peacemaker for others.
Yes. Yes. I like that what you said, that it needs to start with me. Every one of us needs to quit worrying about pointing fingers and doing the blame game, and if there's going to be any peace, let's start with ourselves. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. That's a powerful statement. Powerful statement. Well, good to hear your voice this evening. We're going to be doing a Facebook, not only Facebook Live, but Blog Talk Radio at 7 o'clock on Thursday nights for our Bible class, as well as 12:30 Monday through Thursday for our fight in the incarcerated mind with the incarnated Christ. So when you can get in and fit in. We'd love to have to hear from you. All right. Well, you guys have a great evening this evening, and do something for somebody that they can't repay you for, giving Jesus Christ crucified. Again, we're glad to have you this evening for Blog Talk Radio, as well as Fighting an Incarcerated Mind with the Incarnated Christ, and Study to Show Thyself Approved, a workman that need not be ashamed and rightly dividing the Word of God. Have a great evening. God bless you in the name of Jesus.
My brother.